religious kind of phrase that kind of appeased him in a sense, but left him still in a tough place. You see what I'm saying? So there was no fight in him anymore. So I talked to him very strong. I told him, man, that is passive and that is deception, buddy. Come on. And I knew him from the past. I haven't talked to him for a long time, but just kind of spoke it like it is. You know, you can speak the truth in love when you say it for people's sakes. Yeah. So just wanted to encourage you in that thought. We have a gospel that is viable. It's living. His promises are yes and amen. It's all about growing. But before I have them share, just catch this thought. Because I know we get anxious sometimes. We grab for straws. We're in a trial. We pray all the right stuff and don't see the answer. Who's ever been in that position? Every one of us. Then our mind functions and we start thinking and we grab straws and we try something else. We get pulled into work, so we change our mind about what we first believed. And then rarely do I see people just stay rooted and grounded in the faith, rooted and grounded in a conviction which they can grow in. See, because we grow. Do you understand we grow? That impatient, anxious thing, or yeah, but we get in that 30-day money-back guarantee, try me, see if you like me mentality, and we grab more books, and let me try this, and maybe that didn't work, so maybe this will. And we never get established in the faith, never get in a belief system that we can grow in to see the hand of God or see the reality of a living God, because we're spinning up here. So we might be saying all the right things and praying all the right things and going through the right motions, but it's not even from a place of revelation and faith and true belief. It's just driven by the need. Does that make sense? This is important to talk about because I see it happen to a lot of folks. And I talk to people and they say, yeah, but I tried that. Well, that gives it away right there. It's not a method. We're not trying to find a rabbit in a hat. We're holding fast this good confession of faith. We're holding fast to Him, right? To the truth that makes men free. We're continuing in the Word so the Word can make us free. So it's not 30-day money-back guarantee. Try me, see if you like me. Okay? No. We sell into a lifestyle of believing God through His Word. True? Okay.
Just the question, just for the sake of the whole, you said that this man's comment when you told him, you know, when he was telling you about his problem, you said that he answered in a religious way. That was religion. Could you, just for the sake of the whole, could you?
Just a traditional, just kind of a form of God without expecting the power or finished work of Christ. We kind of get into a mold, like going to church on a Sunday without nature change, without a love for God, without being in fellowship with God. But all of a sudden, it's just appeases our spiritual description just to attend a church. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church, but no real God reality knowledge in our life. But yet your Christianity is defined by what you do instead of who you've become. That would be a good definition for religion. Okay? That's religious. In other words, we do what we've become. We do because of what we become. So here's what I said to him. I said, listen, and this is good for us to understand. You and I aren't in Adam if we're born again. Romans 5 says we were born into Adam. We're not in Adam anymore. We're in the Christ. We're not in Adam. We're in Christ. We're brought back to original value. So we're back to the decree to subdue, not be subdued. This isn't some tangent, high-minded preaching thing, but if there wasn't a subduing, how could you pray for cancer and expect it to disappear? If there wasn't a subduing, how could you pray against demonic influence and expect it to flee if there's not a subduing? Come on, it's a strong man's gospel. It's not just about putting on a Sunday smile and sitting in a rosy kind of sermon and saying, oh, that touched me. That's religion. It's about knowing God and walking with God and having the grace and the authority of the name of Jesus to change things that we know aren't profitable. We know aren't God. I mean, when you look at stuff, you know in your heart it's not God. And unfortunately, the church has called everything God. John 10:10 says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, destroy. But I have come to give life and life even more. Well, right there's an incredible barometer. So if something's not adding to your life, it can't be from God. If he gave us precious promises by which we partake of his divine nature, and every one of those promises is yes and amen through Christ Jesus, he's not switching on us and saying, well, yeah, but I pushed that aside and I just want this for you now because it's best, even though it doesn't seem best. We've embraced that kind of theology. Well, God's teaching me something. I know it's really, but you know, God's trying to show me something. No, God is awesome. He works all things together for the good. No matter what we're going through, it doesn't matter if the devil's working deluxe. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, even if we don't seem to be getting the victory, even if it feels like we lost and didn't get the end result, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, you'll never go through something like that without seeing God moving somehow. He always works things together for good. He's not going to be defeated by the enemy if we'll keep our faith and trust in him. What it says in Romans 8, where is that, 28? We know, see, I'm saying, do we know that all things work together for the good? Do we know that? And we know. We need to know that, and we wouldn't panic if we knew that. We wouldn't make the problem the motivation. We'd make the goodness of God the motivation. Then we wouldn't pray in fear, we'd pray in faith. Because faith works through love, and when I see his love, faith's the automatic response. Am I clear? Am I talking too fast or covering too much? Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it just feels right. So we know, it says, we know that God works all things together for the good. So wonder if we know that, and when crisis hits, the first response in our heart is, look, he's Lord, he's in control, and this is all going to work to the good. We're not defeated here. This isn't an, oh, you got to be kidding me day. This is a wow, thank you, your Lord. Wow, thank you, you have given me a promise. Wow, thank you, you're exactly who you say you are. So when the metal crashes, right? It doesn't change your life in the sense that he's still God, see? And we've got to see that. Because she was in a real serious car wreck. What, yesterday?
Last Wednesday.
And she just made some comments down there about it. But see, when that stuff happens, your life has to be deeper than the natural. It has to be deeper than, oh my God. And your perspective of God is important there, because some people get frustrated. Why'd you let this happen? Why'd you do this to me? God, why didn't you stop that? And it sounds logical, and there's a way that seems right to a man, but that way leads to death. All of a sudden you start dying inside. Your relationship with God gets severed because all of a sudden you feel like God was nonchalant, lackadaisical that day, wasn't paying attention and left you get into trouble or didn't stop the car or something. And we get this weird analogy of...
No, I didn't feel that at all.
No, I know you did.
That I gave it all to God and he took care of the whole thing.
Right.
There wasn't a thing I could do.
But here's the deal. We know that God works all things together for the good for those that love him. Do you understand that love never fails? Do you understand that love is not on the chopping block? Like, you're not measuring and weighing something to decide if you love. You don't have God on trial when you love God. Love believes the best. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong, and it takes account of truth, of course, doesn't rejoice in iniquity, it's not selfish, it doesn't seek its own. So people say they love God, but as soon as something doesn't go their way, they're ready to cut off God and say, what about me? So their love is actually, it's a self-seeking, self-serving confession of love. It's interesting, you find in the Bible, Jesus says to love the Lord your God. He quotes the Deuteronomy scripture, I think it's Deuteronomy 6. He quotes that in the New Testament, and as far as I remember, the word that he uses when he quotes that's in the Greek, is agape. It's the God kind of love. It's God's love. He says, love God. Hey, Michelle. He says, love God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying to love God like God loves me. When he uses that word love. Now watch this. Just think how God loves me. In the midst of any human weakness, where my life's been, the capacity to fail at times. See, God's not like that, but sometimes it seems like he's failed. Sometimes it seems like, where have you been, God? Are you ever going to move, God? It can feel that way to people. I honestly don't have that relationship with him. Honestly, I don't even have the ability to go there. The revelation I have of God, I can't even think that way. And I'm encouraging you to get that kind of perspective, because the last thing you need is shipwrecked in a place where you can't even find this right place with God because you're so confused about life and you're putting God on the chopping block. How can you receive from a God that you can't see in the right perspective.
Can I share something?
Yeah, sure.
Up there, somebody has to crank their necks backwards.
No, it's so we can get your anointed things on the recorder, John.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Come on, sit here so everybody can see you. They can't see you sitting down there.
Hi, guys. I had an absolutely awesome day yesterday and today, but yesterday there was a 25.
Because he's a mountain mover.
There you go. God was moving some mountains, let me tell you. Yesterday, I had a patient drive quite a ways to come out and meet me in a place just outside of Lancaster in Columbia, because this person's had chronic Lyme. She's only 25 years old, and she's had chronic Lyme for 20 years. Totally wrecked her life. And her mom called me, and they were researching some electronic device that might be helpful for her, and they were actually barking up what I think was the wrong tree up in the Poconos. They were checking out one. And I said, listen, before you buy anything or do anything, come see me. I don't have a vested interest in that. I'll help you out. I do have some stuff that seems to be very helpful from the natural realm. But we need to get together. So I turned her on to a guy that had something that was half the price and probably twice as effective and way safer. And so we met there, and we just did some work together, and we're four people. There was this 25-year-old by the name of Jen. There was her mom, her dad, and her boyfriend. And they were all there. Her boyfriend had done the research on the internet to come up with this technology, and it's a legitimate thing. It's just that there's a whole bunch of copycats and whole different, you know, flavors and so on. So I went there to find out whether this would be helpful for her, and I did certain testing with her body's response. Make a long story short, she responded extremely well to what was there. We built a camaraderie. I had spent probably an hour and a half over the last month on the phone with her mom, and probably a half hour on the phone with her. And so we spent some time, some quality time, and worked some stuff out. Well, when we went to my office, we took two cars, and her mom jumped in my car because her mom wanted to offset the cost of the office visit, because her daughter was already spending a lot of money and, you know, different things. So her mom was like, listen, I would like to ride with you. She goes, listen, don't tell Jen, but we need to do this. So I'm like, okay. So we just got talking, and then she starts talking about Jen. And this was something, when I checked her, the mom was under the concept that all four people in this relationship, this family, had Lyme disease. And that's not necessarily true, but it seems to mimic everything else. When I checked her dad, I used his arm for a certain muscular response. His shoulder was bad. I had this like semi-frozen, semi-blown-out shoulder. And I said, that's okay. I said, we're going to get that fixed later today. Because I knew God was just going to touch his shoulder, and it was going to set up for some other stuff. It was the setup. But I didn't do it there. It wasn't the appropriate time. So we just went on from there. Well, we're in the car, and we're driving, and I'm not really listening. I'm talking to her, and I'm not listening to God. So God's going to make it, like, really plain. He's going to spell something out. You got a landmine. You better watch out for it. You don't see it coming. And that was that this girl, who's 25 years old, has been angry at God for a whole bunch of years because she's been sick since she was five, and her life, her entire childhood from five on, her adolescence and her young adulthood has been stolen from her. And guess who she's blaming?
Right.
Okay, I didn't see that. Mom was saying, you know, how well, you know, Jen's like doesn't necessarily warm up to people that easily, but she really likes you. And she even commented that, you know, when she talked with you, the message, God bless you, and she really liked that. She goes, that's a little strange because that's just not like her. She's got a thing about religion. I said, well, I got a thing about religion too, because quite frankly, it's hurt a whole lot of people, but it's about relationship. And we got talking and so on, but she told me just how angry her daughter was at God. And I said, okay, thank you for sharing that. So we get there, and I know I got to pray for Dad, and I know ultimately I want to pray for Jen, but we have some mountains to move. Okay. So we get there, and we do what I have to do, and she brings two bags full of supplements and meds, all kinds of stuff. And I check her out. She needs a few things and like two things for me. And she's thrilled. Her boyfriend's thrilled because now instead of taking, you know, 15 to 20 or 30 pills a day, she's taking a few drops of this and a few pills of that, and she's done. So she knows that what we're doing is helpful, and she's like very excited about it. We build a better camaraderie, and her boyfriend's like in kung fu and stuff. And one of the techniques that I showed him with this muscle test showed he made him weak as a lamb, and he was like blown away. So we all kind of like, you know, connected. It was a real good thing. But now it's going to be a challenging time, because I've already, I understand the setup. And I told him, I got these really neat CDs and some DVDs. I passed along Rafa House, great introduction, and The Finger of God. But before she even saw the title or anything, we got to some stuff. So what I did, the Holy Spirit just kind of gave me, you know, where to go with this. And I said, okay, now we want to help your dad's shoulder, but before we can do that, I have to talk to you. I have to talk real plainly. And basically, I mentioned John 10:10, but before I could even get to that as a foundation, without, because you don't want the person to shut off and put walls up, which this was one of those times. I talked hypothetically about, imagine if somebody gave you a special black box. This is a special machine that could do virtually anything that you could conceive of. It's an amazing thing. Anything you can conceive of, you could achieve with this black box, a special machine. And it's got bells and whistles and buttons and wires and you know, all kinds of gadgets on it. But it didn't come with an instruction manual. And every time you push a button, press a key, turn a knob, something happens that isn't good. You get stung. You get burnt. You get your finger snapped like a mousetrap. Sounds like our buddy. We won't go there. George's trick with his son. But something bad happens. At some point, you're going to do what? With this special black box, this special machine. You're going to throw it away or just walk away from it.
Right.
She agreed. And I said, the black box is your life. And the instruction manual is the Holy Bible, the Word of God. And then I said that we are destroyed for lack of knowledge, which is Hosea 4:6. Already quoted it tonight. And then I told her John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And I said, listen, so I lost my dad at 17 to cancer. I lost my father-in-law in 89, my mom in 92, and a tennis buddy sometime back then. And I said, and a little boy that I loved like a son a few years ago. But I said, it wasn't God that did any of that. I said, we live in a fallen world. I said, we were given a choice back in the third chapter of Genesis. Love must be freely given. And then I gave her this example. I said, can you imagine somebody asking if you love them and then taking your arm, putting it behind your back and going, do you love me? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love you. That's coercion. That's not love freely given. So God, all he asked was us to love and obey him, to have reverential awe. That's the word fear, but it translates reverential awe for him. That's all he asked. Told us one thing not to do. Well, didn't take too long. We blew it. And from that, we gave our authority, our dominion on this earth to Satan. And then he duplicated himself in Eve and then in Adam. And we became selfish at that point. We blew it. From that point on, sin reigned, disease, death, pain, and all the stuff that we did not have. But we brought it on ourselves through free will. And then I said to her, I said, but God sent Jesus. And I said, to fix us up. I said, he loved us so much. And I mentioned the movie, The Passion of the Christ. And she had seen it. I said, that incredible whipping and so on that he took, that's for your healing. I said, God loved us so much, he sent his son. Here, we're blaming God for this stuff. It wasn't him at all. Satan slew us away like a snake in the grass. And we're blaming God. I prayed for her dad. His shoulder was healed 100% in 5 minutes. He was dumbfounded, but her jaw was down. And she's looking like, you're kidding me, Dad, right? You, for real? And he's like, and he's putting it in every conceivable, you know, fashion.
Yeah.
So I just knew God was going to do that. But I wasn't 100% sure the next answer to the next question. I looked Jennifer in the eyes and I said, would you please let me pray for you? She said, yes. Yeah. So I knelt down in front of her and I asked her where she hurts right now, where she has pain. She says, everywhere in my body. And so I put my hand on her head and took her hands and just prayed for Jesus to love on her. and rebuke the pain and rebuke the affliction and the infirmity and Lyme disease and any co-infection and anything else that came to mind. We went from there. And she got a little better. And then she was saying her back was sore in particular. So I had her stand up, and usually backs that are sore, low back. So I had her mom put her hand on her back. Her mom's just weeping at this point. Her mom's blown away because we got way further than mom would have conceived of 15 minutes ago. So we're praying. Mom's touching her back, and she's moving. I pray for her knees at that point, and I've seen a lot of knees healed. I mean, God healed my left knee. Satan said, I'll never play tennis again. Well, he was wrong. He's a liar. So anyway, I could just, we've seen a lot of stuff. So she gets blessed. And then she's standing up and she's saying that her knee's so much stronger and her back's better, but not, you know, nowhere near 100% or anything yet. It's okay. So I said, come on over here. So it was like higher up is her middle back. So I put my hand on her back. A word comes to me that her ribs are out. And she even confirmed it. It was just the word of knowledge. So we prayed for her ribs and everything and flexibility and strength. Her back was about 50% better that day while she was there. Her knees were way stronger, her pain level had dropped, and she was she's really put on, you know, so she, I don't know how to explain it, she did not want to show emotion, but she was about ready to lose it. And I just asked her, I said, Jen, can you imagine ever being like falsely accused of something? Doesn't that like really make you mad? She goes, oh yeah. I said, imagine for 20 years he's been blaming God, and all he ever did was send his son and nail him on a cross and have those stripes for you. And she's just like, she's ripped. She is absolutely blown away, wasted, and it was a really good day.
You can share some of that if you want, John.
We had a lady come today with Lyme disease. Her daughter brought her. There was just so much going on. I mean, just so much going on. There was a lady that came with Lyme disease. She was 66 years old. Her daughter's in her early 40s. Her daughter's an RN. And we just started talking, and it's like, God just keeps sending me off on these testimony things. I'm doing, like, the first half hour was just talking with them, not billable time. And then, you know, all these different testimonies in there. And the daughter's like welling up and getting crying and stuff, and I'm talking about some David Hogan testimonies. I'm talking about all kinds of stuff. I mean, stuff that's like pretty big. And she brought up this dog testimony, and I had to tell David Hogan's dog testimony because that was the foundation I was praying on. I prayed for a British Mastiff that was probably close to 200 pounds, had his back blown out from Lyme disease. They wanted to put it down. Well, guess what? God doesn't only heal humans. He honors our prayers. And she was talking about it, and it got a 20-year-old's attention because the daughter of the mom that brought the dog in, the daughter was totally blown away. I mean, she's been brought much closer to God because God touched a dog. I mean, you know, it's just amazing stuff. Well, this dog was dragging its back legs, and the next day it was walking.
Wow.
I'm not saying it was 100%. This dog was walking. That was not anything I could possibly do through naturopathy. They wanted to kill the dog, put him down, put him out of his misery. God touched and healed his spine. He didn't completely get rid of all the Lyme disease, but by the way, the dog's doing great now. You know, we did a little homeopathy, a little naturopathy, and a lot of praying. But this person knew this testimony, and she's hearing all these other incredible testimonies. So anyway, the daughter's starting to weep and stuff. I'm like, you need prayer. And she goes, I'm just so concerned about my mom. I said, no problem. I kneel down. I pray for her for peace and shalom. And then God gives me the analogy. I said, as much as you love your mom and you have that concern for your mom, your Heavenly Father has even more love and concern for you. And she just got blown away. And then we got to pray for Mama, whose worst symptom that day, today, was neuropathy in her lower extremities and her feet. They were really tingling and bugging her. She walked out of there, total countenance change, and no neuropathy. It's just awesome. We serve an awesome God. His name's Jesus.
Yeah. Good. Do you hear what these people, John's giving understanding, he's making sense of things, because a lot of people just have they just don't have a real understanding. So did you hear that in his testimony? He's bringing people to the knowledge of truth. Why don't you just share just a little of your experience Friday with some young folks? You want to do that?
I'll do it, yeah.
Jump up so they can see and hear you. Okay. I jumped in a chair. You want to sit?
doesn't matter.
You feel more comfortable? You feel like on the spot standing? That's why I left Johnson. I didn't want anything to make him feel like he's lecturing.
Well, like, when we got back from Missouri, like, a lot of people have been asking Richard to, like, speak to youth. And so for a while, we thought that maybe that's where God's directing us. Well, anyway, we were going to go to his old church down in Shrewsbury and go to a prayer vigil where they're going to pray all for 24 hours. And on our way there, they called us up, say, hey, did you know that we'd like you to share? And Richard's like, oh, okay, sure. And so he gets to sharing, and I'm in the back taking care of Elisha because he's, like, being really loud and noisy. And and he's in there and he's teaching, like, all these kids basically kind of how to pray just because they really doing all, you know, they weren't, you know what I mean? It's just really religious prayers. And so, like, he was showing them just, like, how easy it is just to have a relationship with God. And, like, I'd catch some of it. And, like, one kid, he had back problems, and they prayed for him, and like, his back problem, like, basically disappeared, like, almost gone. And then, like, another girl, she had something, like a red eye, and she's praying for it, and she said that it started getting better, and she was just weeping. She was just crying. She was just breaking down. And when Richard was praying, he said he thought he heard the Holy Spirit say that he was going to, the Holy Spirit was going to start to show kids their callings. And, like, the kids just started left and right saying, I think I know what God's really telling me to do. He's just like, and one of the kids, I was in there, and his name was Jesse, plays the bass guitar. We ran into him a couple times, and he wanted to play the bass guitar. That's what he thought his desire was, just to worship God and just play the bass guitar. And he shared that, and then it's just like, the Holy Spirit told me, just like, that he had such a pure heart. And I came up to him and I said, Jesse, you have such a pure heart, man. You just be encouraged. And he didn't know what to do because he's just like, no one's ever told me this. He's like, I feel really weird. He wanted to cry and break down, and right. And God was just touching these kids. It was awesome. But then what was really neat was this, the youth pastors there. The woman was that was a mother of one of Richard's friends that he grew up with, but their daughter is, her name was Jillian, she's like 9 or 10, and I've been hanging out with her, and, you know, we've been having fun, but she's, her grandmother has chronic neck pain, really, really bad, and she had it all night, and she kept telling everybody how bad it was, and she always had it, and so, like, Richard said, they're praying for everybody with different pains, and the lady's name was Anya, and Richard went, Anya, did you get prayed for? And Anya's like, oh, no, it's okay, you know, I prayed for somebody else instead, I'll be fine, and Richard's like, no, we'll have someone pray for you, Natalie, go pray for Anya, and so, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, grab Jillian, so I grabbed Jillian, her granddaughter, and I said, Jillian, come here, we're going to pray for Anya, so Jillian's like, yeah, let's go pray for my grandma, so she goes over, puts her hand, I said, now, Jillian, put your hand where your grandmother said it hurts and pray for her. So Jillian does, you know, she prays, you know. And then I said, now, Jillian, repeat after me. And then we start commanding the pain to go. We just said, we command it to go in the name of Jesus to never return and come back. And then Ani went, oh, my gosh, it's like almost gone. And I'm like, what do you mean almost gone? She's like, well, it's still a little bit there. And I'm like, well, Jillian, way to go. Do it again. And Jillian's like, oh, my gosh. And so she puts her hand on there again. And then we do the same thing and we command it to go. And she, and then after that, and then I was like, okay, all right, Anya, check it out. And Anya's like, oh my gosh, it's gone. She looks over at her husband, she goes, it's gone. And her husband's giving her this look like, okay, you can just stop pretending for your granddaughter, it's okay. And she's like, no, I'm serious, it's really gone. And they told the kids, and it was just like, it's crazy. And then Jillian's running around, she went to her sister Alexis, the one who had the bad eye, she's like, let me pray for your eye, do you have anything in your body that hurts, I'll pray for you.
Isn't that cool?
So, yeah, it was just really cool.
Yeah, see, that's just so good. Amen. Good. And see, she made that comment about religious again, and Martha had said about explaining, and it's just cool, she said they were praying religious. What that really means is just a form of prayer where you put all your emphasis on what you're praying and what you're doing instead of what he did. That's what heals people, what Jesus did, not what you're doing, right? So sometimes people get heady with their prayers or self-conscious, and they put all their emphasis on what they're praying and how they're praying. And it's really what you're believing about what he accomplished. That's what releases the power of God. Amen? It's faith in him. It's faith through him. So we release our faith in him. Amen. Father, we just thank you right now and just appreciate that we could gather together in your name. Thanks for all the folks that are here tonight. And Lord, we just ask that understanding would come, that revelation would come, that every one of our hearts would be increased in revelation, in understanding. And Lord, I just pray for a grace of intimacy, that you would draw every single one of us closer to you. Close to your throne, close to your heart, close to your presence, God, close to your love.
just praying right now for a revelation of God, the Father, to come to every single person here tonight. That, Lord, you draw us into that holy and secret place. And I just thank you for that. God, I just thank you for that. And I just really hear that in my heart to just ask God for that, that we would all just draw closer to Him. God, that we might know you more in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Anybody else that was sharing testimonies? John, got anything? Yeah?
I had a great testimony. I was over at Rudder's, and I saw a young man who was on his bike, and no shirt and tattoos, and I talked to him. I said, you know, I said, God's got a radical agenda of love for you. And he said to me, he looked down, he goes, well, you know, I don't know. He said, I'm an alcoholic. And I said, can I pray for you? And I prayed for him, and I said, Jesus, just do it. So I prayed for him. He broke out in a sweat, and he goes, what the beep is going on? And I said, God has got a radical agenda of love for you, and he wants to demonstrate his love for you. And I said, what's going on? You got something going on in your body? And he says, yeah, my elbow. And so I said, let me pray for your elbow. I said, God loves you, you know. And so I prayed for his elbow, and he goes, boy, this is really weird. So he got really turned on to God. And
wow.
He said, you know, I've been an alcoholic for like 18 years. You know, I don't know how this could ever happen, but he was just, wow. It was so cool. You know, and I've been praying for people all week long, and I work at this one stand here, sub in, and I pray, God, send in the people that you want. And I have people coming over to the stand and said, you know, I don't know why I drove here, but I just really felt like it. I said, I can explain that to you, and I'll just share that. But you know, it's powerful, because when you pray, I tell you what, it covers a territorial area, you know, and there's power in that. And God, and I've just been praying and just excited about the gospel. And I said, you know, do you have anything going on? Can I pray for you? And he said, no, but, you know, you can in my car. You know, my wife's in my car. Go pray for her, and I'll go. And I'll tell you what, I have prayed for everything from Lyme's disease to, you know, God's been sharing with me people's hearts and just word of knowledge. And, you know, God loves people, you know.
Amen.
And he just wants to share, and he wants to demonstrate his love for them. So, man. Jesus is cool.
You know, you're not going to do that if you don't know him and aren't confident of his love for people, his will to heal, his will to touch. That's one reason we gather like this, because we want to increase in the knowledge of him, in the sense that we come in more in touch with his heart, his will, his purpose, his intention through Jesus Christ. Because if you don't know that, and you are out and about, you'll have all those needs around you, but you won't have the conviction like Martha's sharing to just do that. You know, so the closer we walk with him, the more we'll realize he's always a big yes, he's ready to roll, and he wants to move through us. Amen? So this is very powerful. Dot?
Sunday morning at 5 o'clock, we were...
He's John's recording. He wants it on the recorder.
We have a website, testimonyofjesus.com, with hyphens in there.
Yeah, he just wants it on there, so it's good. Okay. You can showcase Jesus. Amen.
On Sunday morning at 5 o'clock, we got on the bus to go to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
Okay.
And it was an awesome thing. I mean, going into New York City and seeing the people laying on the street. I mean, we went past the Sleepies, and there was somebody on the sidewalk right out front sleeping.
Yeah.
And we almost saw the Statue of Liberty. But we were in the service, and there was someone who spoke in tongues. And it was like, everybody was like, oh, somebody spoke in tongues, who's going to interpret? Oh, I wonder. And we were this whole busload of people. Oh, I wonder. And I could hear this buzzing behind me. Who's going to interpret? Who's going to interpret? So they broke into another song, and they were praising the Lord. That choir is phenomenal. And there may have been 1,500 people in that assembly there, and then there was a whole bunch of people over in another room, and then there was a whole other bunch of people across the street in another place.
Okay, yeah.
So the choir was just about done, and all of a sudden somebody started in English. Well, Robert got the same message, and he was saying to me the same thing that this person was saying.
Right.
And when we got back on the bus, the pastor said, you know, I really wonder whether the tongues and whether it matched up. And Bob got up and said, yeah, it was the same thing I was hearing. So the pastor then knew that it can happen.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to have the interpretation the second somebody else that it can be a couple of minutes later, or it can be a little while later. It doesn't have to be immediate. And the pastor was talking about Jesus when he was born, that nobody recognized who he was. The fact was, everybody was looking for the king that would take over the physical kingdom, right, instead of one who was coming, as everyone else had, in the form of a child, to grow up and become. And he said, those poor people totally missed him for the first 33 years of his life because their eyes were covered, they were looking for the wrong thing, and he was as close as you could touch him. He was so personable that you could touch him. He said, oh, I wish I was there. I wish I was there to see all that. But people miss Jesus because they're looking for something else.
Right.
They have this, you know, religious, you know.
Right.
They don't know what they're looking for. And they need to let the Holy Spirit have his way. And he was opening it up to all these people. Every person is going to have a different experience with the Holy Spirit. You cannot have a methodology. You cannot have some supposed experience, because when the Holy Spirit hits you, it's going to be different than you ever thought was going to be. So you have to let the Holy Spirit open you up, prepare you, and then run with what he says. Because you're either out ahead of him, on behind, or he's dragging you along, one or the other. And he said also, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you're going to be used of God. So either you get yourself ready, or you're going to be one of those on the leash going, oh, I wonder what he's going to do next. But we are all going to be used of God in ways that God wants it, Holy Spirit wants it, rather than the way we think it's going to be.
Amen.
And Bob's back there going,
no. Well, what Dr. Lee's saying, and there's something in my heart as she's talking, is growing in discernment. This leading of the Holy Spirit, it's not a method. It's Jesus' name isn't synonymous to abracadabra. It's not a method. There's a growing in discernment. You're not trying to be like me in Christ, and I'm not trying to be like you in Christ. We're growing in relationship. We're growing in discernment with God. So we don't pray for everybody the same. We don't say the same words. There's a discernment thing there. And actually, John, I did hear your message. I was outside in the backyard, and I come in, and you called, and I didn't call you back because I was ready to roll. You called me like after 6:30 or right around then about a water baptism on the 28th at your place. Let's aim at that. Let's do another water baptism at your house and out in the back patio. It's cool at John's house if you've never been there. It's just a fun time. But what we're going to do between now and then, especially as Dot was talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, one of these nights between now and then, we're going to just really talk about the person of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the importance of him in our lives. Because with understanding comes that power and that release. So we want to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. I know, because with water baptism, it's just getting born again, water baptized, and baptizing the Holy Spirit is all like, it's the full package and it's God's will. Okay? So I just had that conviction as Dot was talking about the person of the Holy Spirit and about it being different with everybody, etc. We want to grow in relationship with him, and we want to grow in discernment. That's something I ask for, discernment. I want discernment. I pray that over people. And that's hearing the voice of God, or getting the direction of God and God's heart and God's wisdom in situations, so that you're following him and not saying, come on, and stepping out and hoping he covers you. That's a difference. Yeah. You know, you're stepping out. Did you have something to share?
Yeah, I had really...
Good girl.
Good girl.
Good girl. June 5th, my brother, he's 9 years older than I am. He hasn't been to a doctor in over 30 years, right? So anyway, we ended up going to ReadyCare so the doctor could get things started with him. Well, while we're there, they send us right over to the emergency room. He was having some trouble breathing, but it was mainly his blood pressure. While he was there, they said he probably had some COPD and everything. So that's all we knew at that time. Then we went to see the family doctor that they got us in with. And when he did an EKG, he seen that sometime or another he'd had a slight heart attack or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, of course, you go to the stress test issue and all that. The stress test showed it also. Okay, then I was up at Abbottstown, and I'm trying to think when it was. I can't remember. Anyway, Todd was up, and he'd just been to Lakeland. And he was speaking, and he mentioned three different people that got healed of COPD down in Florida. So I thought, all right, God, that's fine. So when they asked for people that wanted prayer, I went up, and I said, I want to stand in for my brother. So they prayed and everything, and then at the very end, the girl goes, I just feel like I should be touching your chest. Is that okay? I said, you're fine, sure. So, did it, right? That evening, I didn't call my brother. I didn't talk to him. The next day, I didn't talk to him. I didn't talk to him for a few days. He says, boy, something happened to me Saturday night. He said, I just started wanting eating, you know, and all this stuff. And anyway, he started, you could tell he was breathing better, you know? Well, the cardiologist, yeah. The cardiologist is there, and he's saying, you know, he would feel better going in. He even, when he checked in, he said, you know, you really are good. He goes, but we really, since the stress test showed that, we really should. He went in the other day to have that, where they go up there, they asked him why he was there.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? Gee whiz. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. When you start hearing the testimony of Jesus, she heard these several COPDs. Is that the initial COPD? Do I got that right? Okay. I can spell Jesus. That other stuff I struggle with. There's so many names. I'm like, what are you going through? And they're saying, I said, forget it. Let's just pray. I cut people off all the time. Well, it's blah, blah, blah. I'm like, ah, never mind. Why'd I ask? Let's just pray. He's Lord. So, yeah. Well, but she heard these testimonies, her love for her brother, knowing what he's going through. All of a sudden, wow, God's healing that. He's a healer. He can heal. Why not my brother? Boom, right? It's just a big deal. So faith rose in her heart. She's representing her brother before the throne. That's actually, scripturally, that's your priestly role. We're priests and kings unto God. Your priestly role. A priest in the Old Testament went into the presence of God on behalf of the people and presented the people to God, turned around and presented God to the people. We're priests unto our God. Through the mediation of the blood of Jesus, we can take somebody's face to the throne of God, turn around and actually represent God to those people. It's really cool. We got to understand this stuff.
My sister, she had prayer and went over. It was so funny.
Oh.
I've been feeling really
so he was preaching in there then, huh? My sister had prayer. Amen. Well, I got some scriptures on my heart. I'll just touch them quickly. If there's any other things, I don't want to cut anybody off. Please.
It's just not your usual testimony.
Okay. John will want you in front of this chair because he wants your beautiful voice recorded. Well, we'll fix you. Go ahead.
I was painting a little stand that you put a plant on with dark green paint. And I can't fool around with gloves. So I got real dark green paint on my hands. And I was trying to get it off. And I was using nail polish remover and scouring powder. And then I got to the paint thinner can, and there was none there. So I went over the sink, and I said, Lord, what am I going to do now? Olive oil. Olive oil. Turned around, and I went and got olive oil. The olive oil took the paint off my fingers.
Yeah.
That's
on the word of God.
See, that to me, that's relationship. That's intimacy stuff. That's
well,
God's
I was overwhelmed,
reference.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I was overwhelmed.
But you heard that, too. Yeah. I mean, it's not just the olive oil and the connection scripturally, but you heard that.
Yeah.
So that was God. That's just so cool. I was telling folks I was in Ohio, and the pastor's wife lost an important piece on her vacuum cleaner. And We were looking everywhere for her. She was really outside, scanned everything, and she pulled me into it. After I got out of the shower, she had asked if I had seen it or anything. And I said, no. And I said, well, I'll help you look for it, though. And I remember saying to her, you know, the Holy Spirit knows where this thing is. We're just going to have to ask him, get together. I said, when I come out of the shower, and I was actually going in to get a shower. I said, when I come out of the shower, I said, we're going to hook up, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to show us where that is. So I went in the shower, and I was like, Lord, you know, just help Janie out, and you know where that thing is, etc. When I got out of the shower, and I come out, I got all dressed, I come out, and Janie said, she said, where was it? Where did you find it? And I said, what do you mean? She said, the piece. And I said, I didn't even look yet, Janie. She said, no way. I said, no. I said, but I asked the Lord in the bathroom. I said, Lord, you know, and I said, so we were going to pray and look for it. I was coming out to look for it. She said, it was sitting right here. It's this big white countertop. If it was there, we're talking, we'd have seen it. He put it there. He didn't even show us where it was. He just said, oop. I love that stuff. I'm into that. That's the love of God. That's a real, viable, living Christ. Amen. Why don't you jump up, come up here and share your... Well, you have both of you. Come
turn
on
that,
up here
turn that around.
And share your testimony about the allergies when I saw you in the restaurant. That blessed me because this is a proven, time-tested testimony.
And it's 5 years.
Several years. Yeah. So we'll get you front and center and turn the chair back. Good.
All right.
Why don't you introduce yourself because you haven't been around for a while.
Well, my name's Ann Valmer and this is my husband, John. But I have a testimony about the faith of a child. This just happened recently in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
My grandson in Texas, who is 17, almost 18 years old, got MRSA or MRSA, however you say it, a staph infection. So bad, he never knew it didn't come out of his body, went into his body, so it didn't show until it had already eaten a hole inside his leg the size of
tangerine.
Gee.
So he went in the hospital and everything else. When my other granddaughter, who is 3 years old, they pray every night as a family. She started praying, and they were praying, and she kept interrupting him. And she kept rubbing inside of her thigh. That's where it was at, on Drew. Kept rubbing it and said, Jesus, just heal it. Close it up and heal it and take away all pain. Well, they're still praying, and she kept coming back with this. 3 times in a row, she prayed it. 3 times, mind you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Anyway, so I sat.
There's a lot of threes.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. So here, they call her up. She tells me this. I call Laura the next day, and I said, Laura, this is Drew's mother, our oldest daughter. I said, Whitney was praying the other night. They were all praying as a family and so on and so forth, and she started praying and rubbing the inside of her thigh. She goes, Mama, what leg? And I said, does it matter? You know, I said, okay, this leg. And she goes, that's it. That's the leg. It was Drew's leg. And I said, she believed with all her heart, God, that the Holy Spirit was telling our little 3-year-old granddaughter,
in
pray for that healing. Yeah, they're in Montana. Laura's in Texas.
Isn't that beautiful?
She
there's a time
up.
Differential of oh, one yeah. hour, okay? When they were praying, it was 8:30 in Montana, and at that exact same time, my daughter was having to open up this abscess.
Unpack it,
and he was
irrigated.
He was in a lot of pain at 9:30. And so, see, with the prayer, especially of the child, there is no time. And yet it was exactly the same time.
So anyway, Laura went to clean it then that night, okay? And she called me up. She goes, Mama, the hole's closing. The hole's closing up. And I said, well, yeah, the faith of a child. She just believed that. And so that testimony of our 3-year-old granddaughter went before the First Baptist Church in Austin on Wednesday night. That the 3-year-old believed and he received.
Faith of a child.
The
whole child thing is being restored back to innocence. You know what we've lost? We've lost innocence. We know better now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then very quickly, my testimony was I've had a complete hysterectomy, and I was having trouble with my bladder, and it dropped. I just have to tell you that because it's what happened. It had dropped, and I'm going, what in the world? You know, how can that be? So I went before and got prayer, and he prayed for me, and I literally felt.
I didn't even get to pray.
Oh, well, okay, but it...
She said she had a fallen bladder, and I got silly, and I said, I've never heard of such a thing. I said, I don't know how you pray for that. I guess you just say, get up.
Get up.
And I said, get up. She felt the sensation of her bladder lift right up.
So I believe that, and so what I did to test it, I went home and ran up my flights of stairs once.
With
came
a
back
basket.
Now, that's the second I got a laundry basket.
Okay.
First time, I just ran up and thought, oh, I need something heavy because I don't feel it yet. I'm going to run up again. So I grab a whole load of laundry, and I run up there and come back down. And from that moment on, I said, I don't need to test this. I should just say, thank you, Jesus. It's been done, and let's move on. And since then, I've been able to pray for people, women, who have had this issue. And it's just...
Isn't that beautiful? And what John brought to our attention is that the supernatural side of that, not that it was just a healing, that the reason the bladder fell because of the operation, there was nothing to sustain or support it. So he must be just holding it up like he holds all things together by the word of his power.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there, sustained in an up position with nothing to hold it up.
Right.
Because he's God.
That's right.
So if we think too much and lose our innocence, we won't release faith like a child. So I taught that day, and I was just pouring out my heart, and I was in a straight healing service, so I'm teaching on healing.
Yeah.
And she came up to prayer, and I remember laughing and saying, I remember like it was yesterday. I said, a fallen bladder, my gosh, I don't even know how to pray. I've never heard of that. I guess you just tell it to get up. And I remember when I said that, the authority of what we had preached was in the room. And when I said that, because we were going to pray for it, it just got up. And it's been up ever since?
Oh, yeah.
Now, is that cool or what?
Yeah.
I didn't pay her to come here, guys.
No, you didn't. But there is a verse, and maybe you can
I really did.
Verse. It says that the Lord said that he would have us do miracles beyond what even he did when he was walking the earth by the authority he has given to us. So stand on your authority, because that is where you're going to see miracles take place in people's hearts.
That's a good word.
Yeah,
he was just speaking to me today when I was jogging. He talks to me when I'm running a lot. It's so cool. He was talking to me about greater things. And that our calling, even though we're following Jesus, our actual calling is a little different in one sense. He was fulfilling a 3-year ministry to make it to the cross. We're living after the cross, after the resurrection, see? And we don't have to get to every city the way he did in a sense, because people say, well, he didn't pray for every sick person. He didn't pray for every dead person, da-da-da-da-da. But he paid the price for us to, and he gave us the command, heal the sick, raise the dead. See, these are the greater works even. In other words, everybody is an open door, green light, yay for Jesus. But in his earthly ministry, he had to go from city to city. He had a time frame to function in. And it was just him alone setting an example for us to
follow.
But when we follow Jesus, it's through the Great Commission. It's through the Word of God, which is Spirit and life, right? So it's really cool, because I hear a lot of people limit their faith and say, yeah, but Jesus didn't pray for everybody that was dead. But he told us to raise what dead? So is it your green light to pray for the dead? Absolutely. Do you need a leading of the Spirit? If you get an impression of the Spirit and a drawing and an extra sense to a situation like that, who knows, that's good. But do you need that? No, because the Word is Spirit and life, and the Word says raise the dead. So you already have the command.
Right.
Come on, this is a big deal. Let's simplify things. John, real quick, just share your... Yeah.
Why?
Look, she ran from you, man. She loves you. No.
Well, I just, you know, I have to be obedient to the Word where it says, always be ready to give a reason for a hope that's within you. And God has restored what the enemy has taken. And, you know, I'm not blaming the decisions that I made in my 20s and 30s, they were not conducive to 60s and 70s. But God has restored. And Dan has had a part of this restoration. Not all of it, but it's been a party of some of it. And one of them is, it was 3 years ago that for the
salon.
Yeah. But I went out to listen to him one day, and my eyes were almost closed because I had been mowing ragweed with my lawnmower, and I have, since a child, I've been asthmatic, and, you know, so these things, whenever these tasks were, I had to live with them. And I was telling him the other day, I said, I have a whole gallon Ziploc bag full of inhalants, medicines, prescribed medicines. If you're in hay, you take this. If you're in, if it's ragweed season, you take this. And I have a whole bag of those things that has been sealed for 3 years.
Amen.
And I don't know what to do with them, you know, but I just keep them as
trophy.
A trophy, you know. But that day, my wife and my daughter were there, and they tipped me out of the chair when he said, you know, if you
anybody for prayer?
For prayer. Say, well, they kind of pushed me out of the chair, and so I'm on my feet. And
that's the week after your bladder.
Yeah, it was the week after.
The week after?
Yeah.
Because your bladder was fine, and they were like...
Yeah, well, see, that's why they kick you.
See what the power of God does when it demonstrates the power's in the house? Then the love for the people they love, it's like, come on, get prayer. Yeah.
So anyhow, I received it. And oh, me of little faith, you know, I didn't really, you know, how I did, okay, I'm fine, you know. But I noticed that I was breathing, you know, with greater ease, okay. And he made the comment, he said, well, you ought to go out and play in it, say. So it was like a couple of days later, I still had more mowing that I mow around my fence lines. And so I said, okay, let's get it done. And I went around this 40-acre pasture, and when I got to the top, almost the farthest away from the house that I could get, I looked, and the mower was redlining. And I said, now, wait, this is a new mower. What's wrong? And I looked down, and all the dust had totally clogged all the vents, okay? And in order to see that, I had to take my fingers and go through my glasses because it was all in my glasses. And then I realized I was breathing. The mower wasn't able to breathe, but I was breathing. And see, that's when I realized what I had received, okay?
That's so good.
Because I had to scrape it off of my glasses to see that the mower was clogged up. And so I cleaned it all off and took it back to the house, and then the next Wednesday
came in and just shared. And now here we are 3 years later.
3 years later.
No inhalants, no meds, no repercussions, no flashbacks, free.
Nothing.
What do you think of that?
Not one.
I think Jesus is Lord.
God
bless you. That's so good. Yeah, you got something? Yeah, come on up. This is good. It's turning into testimony night. Testimony's good. It shows God is moving.
Okay, last October, my grandson Corey over here called and said, Jen's baby is going to come early. It's going to be 2 months early. You need to come to Pennsylvania and pray. I've lived in Florida my whole life. I said, I can pray fine from Florida. He said, no, Nanny, you need to be here. So I came on up, and we went to the hospital, and Jen had real high blood pressure. The baby was born, 3 pounds and 15 ounces, and they came out and told us that Jen had pneumonia, extremely high blood pressure. She may not even make it, and that the baby was in the most serious intensive care in the NICU, in the newborn intensive care. And they wouldn't let anybody see Jen, and I told the nurse, I have to leave to go back to Florida in 1 hour. Please let me just have 2 minutes to pray with her. And they said, okay. They wouldn't even let her mother in, and her mother wasn't real happy about that. But
what time of the year was this when she was actually born in?
November 6th.
Okay.
And so I went in, and I prayed, and I just quickly said, God, you just take care of everything. Just fix her. Please don't send me home to Florida with all this going on. I need a good report quick. And I left her, kissed her, and left, and went down to have a cup of coffee. And in 10 minutes, her mother and his mother came running down. You're not going to believe it, Nanny. You're not going to believe it. Jen's pneumonia is completely gone. Her blood pressure's stable. They're taking her out of intensive care. The baby's being moved from that to the least monitored. Mm-hmm. And she's just been great since then. Chloe's 9 months old now. And she's sick this week for the first time in her life. She came home, and we were all sick, and she was healthy. But right now, she has a viral infection, so pray for her.
A little baby?
And yeah, she's been sick since Sunday, and we did take her to church last night and had Pastor Don pray with her and everything. So she's better today. But then another thing that I'd like to tell you is that in 1994, I had a hysterectomy, and while I was in the hospital, I got the flesh-eating bacteria and was told there was zero chance that I would live. I was in intensive care for 6 weeks and had a nurse every 8 hours for a year to clean out the open wounds and had, you know, like the hole with the MRSA in it, but it was my whole area, from here to here and all the way around. And so I was put on disability and told, you'll never walk, you'll never work, you'll never do anything again.
He lied. He lied.
God is good. We got the most incredible testimony on Tuesday night. It was so awesome in Fritztown. This lady was pregnant, and they ultrasounded the baby, and she had no amniotic. What is it? Amniotic. I'm getting close. I'm learning. Amniotic fluid. And the baby had no limbs, no lungs, or no liver. And they said, look, just let's abort this baby because it's going to be stillborn. And why bother? Because it has no limbs, no lungs, and no liver. So why go through the term of pregnancy to stillborn a child? Let's just abort it now. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to trust God. Man, I love that. See, that's just getting me right now. Because I'm thinking, you know, the way that seems right to man, natural knowledge, even the average Christian mindset, don't mind me saying that, is freaked out and overwhelmed by a report like that. That's why we need to keep studying to show ourselves approved and gather together, right, to get, stir one another in love and good works, get out this scourge, keep our eyes on him. Amen? And because, you know, you hear a report like that, you can't react. You need to respond in truth in him. Because he's Lord. So they felt led to go to this church, Father's House of Prayer, or Our Father's House. And I'm not sure if that was Pastor Gary or not. I wanted to ask him at the end, and I didn't, because he's a great guy, and they got a move of God going there. It was in McDonaldsburg or something. But anyhow, it doesn't matter.
It's Brian Lake. It's the Brian Lake.
Oh, is that who it was? Yeah, Brian Lake was here. Yeah, so it was Brian Lake. Yeah, okay. And they went there, and they got prayer, and they just felt in their hearts like, we got this. This is God. God did a miracle, and he saved our baby, you know? So she's pregnant and doing what you pregnant women do. I don't know. Just crock-potting the baby, right? So she goes in there, and she gets an ultrasound, right? And the doctor says, he doesn't even know what to say. He said, in 16 years, I've never seen anything like this. I don't even know what to say. He said, this is amazing. The baby had arms and legs, lungs and liver. Totally normal. Born, totally normal. And she had none of that. What fluid? Amniotic fluid. And the baby and the... Who knows with technology today, it's easy to see that condition. Who knows that when that baby's a certain term, they know what they're looking at. Who knows it's not a misdiagnosis, no arms, no legs, lungs and liver, abort the baby. Who knows they're not like getting a foggy picture, making a mistake, aborting a baby and going, oops, oh my gosh, it did have arms and legs. Come on. Because doubt and unbelief tries to fight this stuff, but Jesus is Lord. And one day, doubt and unbelief is going to look him eye to eye and bow. I'm telling you. Because see, to doubt and unbelief, there's no explanation sufficient, but to faith, there's none necessary. Come on, did you catch what I just said? People are just saying, you know, well, yeah, but maybe this, and what about, well, how do we know? Well, how do you know in the first place that they even, well,
And when the placenta came out, it was in the shape of a heart.
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
The umbilical cord wasn't even connected to the placenta.
Oh, that's right. The umbilical cord. Thanks, Crystal. Yeah. That's powerful. Yeah. The umbilical cord, when the baby was born, the umbilical cord wasn't even connected.
Yeah, so God.
So it was just a supernatural. It was just God saying, ooh, our God, sustaining life. And the placenta was in the shape of a heart. And then they got a prophetic word about the child, and it was pretty intense prophetic word. And I think it's probably very clear, true prophetic word.
Share a little bit on that prophetic word, because that was a person becoming man of God.
I don't know. I have a clue what you're talking about there.
That's okay. The prophetic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, I don't know that he came up with the prophetic word. Did he have the prophetic word?
No. Someone spoke a prophetic word before this baby was born, that this baby was to bring Christians back to the Father, that the ones that were like in rebellion or whatever. So this was a prophetic word spoken over the baby.
It was something about being a battle instrument or something.
But he's going to bring...
Sharpen
instrument. But he's going to bring Christians back to the Father. And here, this man that was living in their house, that was professing Christian and so on, got so mad at God...
When they got the report first diagnosis of the baby. He threw the Bible in the garbage can and said, as awesome as you two are, and as godly and God-fearing as you two are, if this happened to you guys, as awesome as you are in the Lord, threw his Bible in the garbage, said, I don't want nothing to do with this God. If he's letting this happen to you guys, as sweet as you are, I don't want nothing to do. See, he's not understanding the adversity, the attack, the fight of faith. They took him personally in to do the second ultrasound MRI thing. They took him in the room when they scanned Mama and saw the arms, legs, liver, and lungs. They had him in the room, the guy. He said he was back home wiping garbage off his Bible, repenting before the Lord. Forgive me, God. But you see, watch this. If you have a perspective that can turn on God that quick, you're actually open door target asking for trouble. Because Satan will be privileged to just go bang and cut you off because of that deception. Bang! You're just a problem waiting to happen when you have that twisted perspective. Because you're just one crisis button away from falling away from him. And you have to realize that what he did was send his son. Come on. Did he send his son and smote him on the cross? Don't think that the Romans killed him. God smote his son. The Bible says it pleased him to bruise his son. He was inspiring, I believe, the whole thing. Hit him again. Really? Because the Bible teaches that, and it pleased him to smote his son, to bruise his son. Do you think that he had his son so brutally beaten so he could turn around and play charades with us and watch us beaten and afflicted? Do you think he afflicted his son so he could turn around and afflict us? Come on. Here's the deal. Go to Romans 5 with me real quick. I know there might be a couple more testimonies, but I can't hold back a whole lot longer. I'm feeling a little revved right now.
Perfect.
We'll see ya. Oh! Giving birth to this child. I've been in labor pains for a while here. We're going to push it out. You think I don't know women? I know. Oh, God. Okay, enough. Stop. Oh, no, stop. Gee whiz. Okay, this Romans 5 is so powerful in the sense that it explains so much. Okay? It explains the love of God that came to rescue us when we were fallen. You have to understand that we were created in God's image in the beginning, and yet man fell, and his name was Adam, and his wife was Eve. And it says here that we were all born into Adam. So because one man sinned, all man sinned. In other words, we were born into that sin, into that nature, into the fall of man, every one of us. Every one of us. Okay? So there's a dilemma there. But God, in his great love for us, while we were yet sinners and born into sin, he sent his son to die for us, okay? Because what's he saying? That's not your created value, and I'm calling you back to original value. I want to get you out of Adam and into me.
Yay.
Come on. So we're born again. Unless one is born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Which means if he is born again, he will see the kingdom of God. And that's really the function of the king right here on the earth, the king's domain, the way God's flowing and moving and what's in heaven on the earth. That we could go into that, but we don't need to, I don't believe, right now. But here's the deal. When Jesus made that comment to Nicodemus in John 3, Nicodemus said, we know you're a teacher sent by God because nobody can do the things you do unless God is with him. For one thing, he didn't say nobody could say the things you say. It's not just about your preaching, it's about your doing. Did you hear all these testimonies tonight? Whoa. All of a sudden we go, whoa. Man, that's not possible. Arms, legs, liver, that's God. God is with those people. God heard those prayers. You know, all these testimonies that you guys shared, this is God, right? So nobody can do the things you do unless God is with you. Unless God, and if I'm standing there joking, literally joking, saying I never played for a fallen bladder before, I guess you just say get up, and the thing stands up. Who knows God is with you? I was having fun. I was going to pray. I was just having fun. I was being silly, kind of making a joke. And the Holy Ghost jumped right on it. And the bladder said, well, I guess I'm going to have to stand up sooner or later. Might as well be now. That's just like that. That's too cool. Come on. Wonder if we believe that. Wonder if we're that childlike. See, Nicodemus said, and he said, nobody could do the things you do unless God was with him. And who knows, Jesus could have said a lot. Well, yeah, I was the lamb slain before he said, he turned right to Nicodemus and said, unless a man's born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. What was he saying? He was saying, Nicodemus, you're experiencing the kingdom. Amen. And if you get born again, you can experience just what I'm doing. You can do it too. And through me, it's going to be possible. Come on. Think how cool Jesus is. Nicodemus comes. He's inquiring. Nobody can do these things unless... And he turns it to the less a man's born again. He took it off himself.
Right.
And made an all-inclusive statement. And said, all you're experiencing, Nicodemus, is the flow of the kingdom through me. Because I have right relationship with God and there's no sin issue. But I'm the lamb that was slain and I'm taking away sin. And if you get born again, you can walk in the kingdom too. And the things I'm doing, you can do too. Because you can have right relationship with God also. Come on, that's so rich. I'm like, wow. So he became flesh. He took on the likeness of sinful flesh and was made to be sin. So he literally, it wouldn't be unscriptural to say he took our place in Adam and in the fall to get us back into him. He became what we were so we could become what he is.
Amen.
A son of God. Only he's the son, right? Name above every name. But we're what? Sons and daughters. Is that blasphemous? No. Were we created as sons and daughters? Is he father? Does that mean what's in the father's in us? Does that actually put us on the same family plane, inheritance, genetics?
Jesus.
Whoa. That is not blasphemy. That's my created value.
Amen.
And I'm a child of the king. Right? I'm a prince then, huh? Yay, man. I feel good. Hey, man, it feels good to believe that. You say, you're off your rocker. No, I'm out of my old mind. I'm out of some other people's minds. I'm in the mind of Christ. Amen?
Yay.
Watch this. Let's just read this. I'm going to try to be quick with this.
That's just so amazing. I can't get over it. I was just saying, Andrew Womack has been teaching this week exactly what you're talking about.
Really?
Yeah. Exactly.
Good. We must have the same daddy, too. Oh, my gosh. So he's my brother. Amen. I haven't heard it, but this is gospel. See, we were born into Adam. God has taken us out of Adam and placed us in the Christ. Colossians 1 says that the Christ in you is the hope of glory. And that's the mystery that's been revealed to the Gentiles. And Paul said, it's him we teach and we warn and we preach every man till that becomes complete.
Amen.
The Christ in us. So what's the hope of the glory of God in my life? The glory, very simply meaning the manifest attributes of God. The visual awareness, the seeing of God's movement. Glory can be summed up as any manifest attribute of God. That's not to make light of the word glory. That's to bring it into a nutshell definition we can embrace. Any manifest attribute of God. So the Christ in me is the hope of the manifestation of God.
Amen.
Oh my gosh. So when you pray at the roadside stand, the hope, or the alcoholic with no certain, and he says, what in the bleep is happening? Her hope of the manifest attribute of God is the Christ in her that's flowing out of her because she's releasing faith that's working through love. All of a sudden, she can walk by this guy and say, whatever. Or he can look and say, he needs love. Now that's the difference between walking with Jesus intimately or not being so sure. Because then self-consciousness, self-awareness, insecurity, low esteem kicks in, and we don't open our mouth and release the kingdom. But wonder if the Christ in you is the hope of glory and he dominates your identity. And all of a sudden, you see who you are in him and you can't contain it. Isn't that cool? It's really cool. Okay, I'm just going to read. Just listen. I'm just going to read, okay? Oh, you're awesome. Here you go. You look good. Is that Doc's hat?
Yeah.
Hey! Okay, watch this. Romans 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got a therefore there. I always struggle jumping into the therefore. Because therefore means in light of what I just said. Let me just back up two or three verses, okay?
If you see a therefore, find out what it's there for.
Yeah, if you find a therefore in your Bible, find out what it's there for. That's just a good way to put it. In other words, if you just jump in and read the therefore, you might miss the context of what he's writing because he's saying in light of what he's just said. So he's just made a point, now he's saying in light of what I've just said, therefore because of this, and he's making another point. So you can't grasp the fullness of that. Don't just jump in your Bible and read out a text. Be careful that you don't do that. Always get an idea. I'll read a little before and a little after things so I get the gist of what he's saying so I don't misconstrue it. Okay? Because that happens. Okay? Somebody handed me a pamphlet once on another religion or faith. I don't need to even mention it. And he was so sold by it. He said, man, this got me shook up. And he actually yielded and went that way. And I was like, whoa. And he gave me the pamphlet and I read it. And if I didn't know the word, it could have sold me. But the scriptures they used were all out of text, out of context. They weren't in the light of the way they were written. They were making them say, they were just pulling one-liners out. And they pieced them together and made a religion out of it, or a doctrine, or a faith. And it was all twisted. And it grieved me. So I highlighted the whole thing and wrote all the fill-in scriptures and exposed where everything was out of text and gave it back to him. Because the word's in my heart to a level where I could see through that. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, if you don't study and show yourself approved, you all right? Thank you, Lord. Oh, did he want the hat? Oh, he bumped his head. Thank you, Lord. Blessing. Hey, little buddy. It's okay. I'm not used to seeing you cry. I can hardly take it. Thank you. Thank you. You're good. Okay, let me just read this. Let me back up to verse 23. This is where he's talking about Abraham, and it was accounted to Abraham as righteousness because he believed God. Let's jump in at 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. What's that? Righteousness, the righteous identity. Okay? So we're righteous because we believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe and settle our case in him, and we receive an identity of righteousness where we're separated from our sin and we're birthed again and we're in the Christ. Okay? That's a really big deal. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So it says that. Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. You ever hear the song, Because He Lives? See, death couldn't hold him, right? Death couldn't hold him down. Man, I love that song. The enemy has been defeated. You know, oh, we could get that one rocking. So he raised from the dead through the spirit of holiness. The devil had no grip on him because he had never sinned. He couldn't lay claim to his body. He was raised from the dead because of innocence. He had actually shed innocent blood. So he was raised from the dead as a man, still a man. Do you understand that? Still flesh and bone. Because he asked his disciples to touch him because a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone like I. This is after the resurrection, guys. You need to see flesh and blood, bone is in the holy place of the heavenly tabernacle. A man is there. The man, Jesus Christ, on behalf of mankind. Whoa. This is understanding this is a big deal. It's what allows you to go boldly into the throne room of grace, Hebrews 4. Go boldly in and receive mercy and grace. It's a covenant of mercy. It's all about God's mercy. It's all about God's grace. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Mercy endureth forever. Love never fails. Come on, love came and rescued us. We were lost, but now we're found. Come on. It's a big deal if we understand it. So we start to approach God from this perspective where we're righteous in His sight. Sin has no more grip. We're justified just as if we've never sinned. Now, a person that really understands that doesn't use that teaching to give them permission to remain the same. That's the call for change. I haven't found a way to sin and get away with it. I found a way to be free from it. Come on. It's real. It's just there. So I'm justified through Jesus. Watch this. So one day I go to work and I'm a mess. Soulically, spiritually, even physically I was. I had serious back and hip issues and probably needed surgery and was just toughing it through. Just didn't even want to think about it. And I was in great pain. So I'm a mess. I go to work. I'm a mess. I leave work totally justified and right with God, healed in my back, filled in my spirit with peace, and my mind was clear. For the first time in my life, I went to work a total mess, came home absolutely changed by the power of the gospel. So nobody can talk me out of that. I'm like flaked out forever, man. This thing is real. My back was healed. I realized that a week later. I thought, oh my gosh. And I've been just great. I mean, I'm doing pretty good. Ask Jesus. He'll tell you. So here we are. We're justified just as if we've never sinned. To fight the good fight of faith primarily and to wear your armor is to keep that testimony alive in your heart and in front of you where your identity is through the Christ, not what you're going through. What Satan wants to steal is your confidence before God, your identity, your ability to stand right before His presence. To fight the good fight of faith, in most cases when you study the faith and to maintain the faith, it means to hold fast the righteous judgment of God towards your life. And let that be the strength of your life, the motivation of your life. Because if I live under righteousness, I'll bear my fruit under holiness. If I present my members under righteousness, right? Then I'll bear my fruit under holiness. Man, it's so good. So Father loves us. He's made us right. He's taken the sin issue out of the way. How much sin does the blood of Jesus cover? So it's covered. Yay! It's so good. So we do have right relationship through the Son. So I do have total access to God. So I can follow Jesus. So He fleshed out a life in right relationship with God, and He made it possible for me to be the same way, even though I missed it. You see? Oh my gosh. Even though I fell short of the glory. God doesn't see that. He sees who He created me to be, and He calls me Son. That's my picture in His wallet. He really does. He's like, there He is. Can you imagine God's wallet? There He is. I'm on there. I'm in there. Amen. Pastor Don says He's on His refrigerator. I like that. So we were justified. I'm not getting very far. But we're saying some stuff, though. It's good. Therefore, okay, since it wasn't just to Abraham, but righteousness was to us, and we were justified through Christ, therefore, having been justified by faith, since this is true, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my gosh. The war between God and man is over. The war between sin and all that stuff, it's over. If you'll see that, if you'll just declare that. Even if you stumble into an act of sin, even if you flounder into a moment of weakness and catch yourself or see yourself or, no, man, I shouldn't have done that. Man, don't get condemned or lose your identity for a moment. Run to Daddy God. Don't run away like they did in the garden from His presence. Run to God. Let your heart be pure and say, that was so much less than what You created me to be. That was old nature. That was yesterday's life. I'm so glad my life is more than that in You. And I confess that as sin, and I allow Your strength to swallow up that weakness. And God, I thank You for loving me. I'm wiser, smarter, and sharper than ever before. Thank You for the convictions in my heart and showing me the way. Amen. And you just keep on trucking. Oh man, that's what a lot of people in the church don't understand. They make a mistake and they sit around and sulk for 3 days and let that identity become a stronghold of sin, and then they continue to sin, and then they separate themselves from Daddy. He's walking around in the garden of your life saying, where are You? And you're over hiding, sulking in a sin that He's already crushed through the blood and name of Jesus. Man, that's just good. Because He's faithful and just to cleanse you of all
unrighteousness. Why? Because it's imperative you remain righteous in His sight so the kingdom can keep flowing. He wants your righteous identity to stay intact continually, 24/7. Righteous. So I always have the right to release faith. Always have the right to love. Always have the right to stop the man on the bicycle. Always have the right to release the kingdom of God. You get it? If your identity's in crisis, you won't even seize that right. You won't even manifest it. We have peace with God. Don't you forget that. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So see, our faith takes us into this place. We accept this, we believe this, and we say yay to Jesus. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Okay? So we rejoice in the hope of the manifestation of God in our lives. We were once separated from Him, now we're one in Him. Okay? It's all about this. And not only that. Whoa. And not only that. Sounds like he's building here, but watch what he says. Not only that, we glory in tribulations. That's not a lot of people's understanding. They come into the kingdom for them instead of to get right with God and for Him. Okay? If you come in a self-serving way to the kingdom for your life to be more blessed or so you don't go to hell and you go to heaven, you might be amazed how quick you'll be discouraged in adversity. If you come into the kingdom for His name's sake and so you can be right with God, come hell or high water, He's God and you know He's working things through and you'll stand and fight the good fight of faith. You won't be shaken by the trouble. Because we glory in our tribulation knowing something. You got to know this. That tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance builds your character. Character releases hope. And hope can't disappoint because God's love's down in our heart and it's poured out by the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. So it keeps your perspective crystal clear in the face of adversity. You've heard me say it. Those of you that hear me preach any length of time, you squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice. When you squeeze a Christian, Christ ought to come pouring out. Satan has learned if he squeezes Christians, he can find what's on the inside. It'd be a strange day if you'd squeeze an orange and lemon juice would come out. You'd put it to your lips and you'd go and spit it right back in the cup and go, what? And then you'd pick up the orange. It'd be a weird thing. But all of a sudden, it's not so weird when you squeeze the people of God and everything but God comes out. All of a sudden, we call it normal. It's not normal. We need to grow up into Him in all things and let Him have His way in us. Amen? So when you squeeze us, all of a sudden, if Satan found out the more he squeezed us, the more he manifested Jesus in us, he probably wouldn't squeeze so hard, would he? Sometimes you make yourself vulnerable to be squeezed because what's coming out is fear and flesh and self-preservation and oh me and oh my. I'm not talking to anybody specific. I'm just preaching. Okay? Okay. You can be inviting adversity into your life and not realize it. You can be walking around with big bullseyes. Hit me here. Okay? Hope doesn't disappoint. Verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely, I'm reading real fast for a reason. I'm trying to cover ground. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. Okay? So Ned's a righteous man, but scarcely would somebody jump in front of him to take the bullet. They just figure, well, since he's born again, he's going to heaven anyway, and they just kind of let him get it, right? That's what he's saying. Rarely would a man give his life for a man he knows is a good man. So I know Ned's a good man, but what he's saying is rarely would a man exchange his life for that man even though he knows he's a good man. Okay? But God went way farther than that. Way farther. Watch this. But God, 8, verse 8, demonstrated His own love. His own love, not this human phileo fleshy love. This His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's incredible. You were still sinning. You were still in your sins and the provision was already made. The Son had already died and you were still missing Him. Sometimes Christians even know what they're doing and they go through backslidden moments and still do whatever and the provision is still there. God still has sent His Son. It's amazing. The love of God's incredible. For if while we were much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be sozoed, saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, and kept safe and sound from the wrath through Him. So the judgment of sin and the judgment of end time and the whole wrath of sin is all removed through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's incredible. So anything you brought into your life through sinful behavior must be destroyed by the same gospel that saved you from your sins.
If the blood of Jesus redeemed you and remitted sin, then the body that was given redeems your flesh. It's time to preach that more and more in the church. I just got invited back to Iowa where I was for the conference with Global. They called me back and the lady said, "We just loved you." And I'm like, "Good." I said, "I loved you guys." And I said, "You think I'm coming to be a blessing? I'm coming to be blessed, man. It's great." It was just the atmosphere. They loved Jesus. It was off the hook worship. Oh my gosh, and just loving the Lord and wide open to believe God. But they're inviting me back for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in November. A five-day thing. And I'm like, "What?" And she said, "Yeah, we want you to open up on Wednesday night and just pour out your heart. We want to tap into what's in your heart. We were so touched by it." I did six sessions at the conference, so I preached for 6 hours. They want me back for 5 days because they felt like they just didn't get what's in my heart completely.
Which we have those six sessions from Iowa here tonight on DVD.
You have them?
Yes.
John, you're amazing.
I want a bunch of them.
I want one.
First come, first serve.
DVDs yet, huh?
All I can say is they're...
Nah, don't be enough. That's right. So they call me. Now watch this. Wednesday... I just lost everybody, John. Look what you did.
Now, because there's one still missing. I haven't put stickers on one of them. I had to go home to get it. So I'd sit down and wait.
We'll get them. You'll get them. Yeah, you'll get them. Listen, this is awesome. No, your hunger is appreciated. No, that's fine. It doesn't matter. It's fine. No, don't think twice about it. It was sincere. It was hungry. Listen, she said about coming Wednesday, and then Thursday, she goes like this. "We set up for you to go to the Teen Challenge Center. There'll be a couple hundred guys there." And she said, "We want you to pour out your revelation of righteousness and redemption to the guys on Thursday." And I could hardly stand it. My spirit was flip-flopping inside. I was like, I was really excited. Because she said they're carrying STDs, hepatitis C's, guilt and condemnation, can't forgive themselves. And I'm going to get to preach this gospel of love that sets men free and also takes the mark of sin from their flesh.
Amen.
And I'm going to watch the redeeming fire of God burn through men and set their bodies free. I promise you it's going to happen. Oh, I'm already excited. So then I'm like, Friday, they're having a regional pastor's luncheon. And I'm like the speaker. I'm like, what? I don't even know what to do, John. I'm like, what am I going to say, God? And then that night, they have a statewide awakening meeting that they have geared to wake up the state to the move of God and hunger for God, and they're asking me to pour out my heart at that. And then do a Saturday night and a Sunday morning, and she said, "We're going to keep you busy." I said, "I'm so excited, I can't contain it." Oh, my God. So it's just cool. Why is that happening? Because of the message, because it's the gospel right here. This, what made me think that is because this is the key verse that put redemption in my heart. This is where the Holy Spirit taught me redemption, these two verses. Just to let you know, this is the foundational place where the Holy Spirit birthed redemption in my life. Verse 9 and 10. "Much more, having been justified by His blood, so His blood forgave us of our sin, now we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Now he expands on what he just said. He expounds more. Watch. So saved is the word sozo, healed, delivered, protected, made whole, kept safe and sound, all that good stuff. So verse 10 is the giveaway. "For if," he explains verse 9, "if we were enemies, and while we were enemies, God reconciled us back through the death of Jesus, much more," do you hear the increase of outpouring of grace? "Much more, now that we're His, now that we're sons, now that we're justified, now that we're separate from sin, much more shall we be what? Since we're reconciled, much more we shall be saved, sozoed, because He lives."
Amen.
Oh my gosh. What he's saying is, because He lives, you can receive the benefit in your life. And not just sin has been removed, but everything sin has caused and brought and marked you with must be destroyed by the same gospel if you'll just believe it and contend for it. Did you get that? Oh, my goodness. That's exciting. So we're going to preach that to the guys and share it real clear. And then anybody that brought sickness into their life through sin, we're going to pray for them. And the holy presence of God will come. He will. You hear how I'm talking? He will come. And He will touch people and He'll burn through bloodstreams and He'll do cool stuff. I was at Randy's conference and I preached that and prayed for people. I had a lady come up to me. She went for a full test, had an incurable STD in her bloodstream, incurable.
And she said when she came up the altar call, she felt warmth come all down through her. And she went and had total tests. It was incurable. And it was totally gone, undetectable, not a trace in her blood. Because of the message, the truth. You declare these things under conviction, and that grace comes in the room and sets people free. She said nobody touched her at that point. She was just listening to the message, and she just stood up, and she was responding, and heat came all through her body. Nobody even touched her. I was in Iowa preaching these kind of truths, and a deaf ear that was deaf for years just went boop. Just totally heard. The guy totally heard. People getting healed at the preaching of the word. Isn't that cool? I like it. I'm not making it far. I'm way late, way whacked here. I'm having so much fun. I feel like just preaching till daybreak. If somebody falls out the window, we'll raise them up. That's an action, by the way. Actually, I'd probably be like having an issue first and wonder why you were sleeping while I was preaching. But anyhow, I have to deal with my heart first. Well, I'll raise them up, but they got to explain why they slept in the first. Having fun. So we're reconciled to God. Not only that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. So we rejoice in God. We have intimacy and relationship, and we worship Him for this awesome thing He did. The more prevalent this becomes in your life, guys, the more worship life you'll have, the more joy you'll have, the more peace. Can you tell that I'm pretty stirred up right now about what I'm talking about? Okay? There's passion in my heart. And I'm, yeah, because this is real. This is what I live by. This is what makes me tick. You can't touch this in my life. Like, life has no power over what I'm preaching. There's no circumstance in the day that can take this passion out of my heart. It's not like, bummer. No, that's a tough break, dude. It's not like that. You can't, there's not a person in the world that has power over the truth that I'm preaching right now in my life. You're going to see me this way every till the day I'm with Jesus. Because there's a depth to what I'm saying, and it's real. It's a perspective I live from. You get it? Because if not, we'll be pushovers, and all Satan has to do is go, ding, 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 ding. Find the right connection to move you from the Christ, to move you from joy, to move you from peace, to move you from a healthy identity. And all of a sudden you find yourself bound and limited by flesh and the ingenuity of wisdom of man instead of power of the gospel that rules and reigns. I feel the Holy Ghost. You have no idea. Just fun. Why? Because of this truth. He took me out of Adam and put me in the Christ. I'm in the Christ. You're in the Christ. But you have what you believe, guys. So this gospel's to the believer. It's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1, to them that believe. Wonder if you don't believe it, you won't eat the fruit of it. It's available, it's still true, and it's still yours, but you won't eat the fruit of it. You get it? See, and I'm talking from a perspective of a man that knows what it meant. I came to face to face with my life. What a lot of people don't really see, because they don't see the other side of what I'm talking about, the God side, they've learned to cope with life, and they're trying to make it the best it can be, and they're handling it to the best they can, but it's still unfulfilling. It's still frustrating. It's still toil. So a lot of people don't surrender. I'm talking to you from a perspective of, I came to an end of myself and saw my life for what it was and faced that and got born again by the Spirit of grace, and now I've clearly been on both sides. It's powerful. I'm glad for that, actually, because that's what keeps me here where I'm at. Peter said, where would I go, Lord? You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. You're the only one that causes me to live. I love it. So just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Do you see it? We were born into Adam. We were born into Adam. Okay? It just goes on. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, and even over those who did not sin according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Why? It's because we were born into Adam. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many die, much more by the grace of God and the gift by that grace of one man, Jesus Christ, it abounds to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came through the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. So the death of one man turned this whole thing around in a much more way.
That's incredible. We've got to get a hold of this, not just read our Bible, but believe our Bible. Serious, and get into it and say, thank you, Father, and start releasing faith so the Holy Spirit can make it alive in our hearts. Man, when you're all alone, you're in a bedroom and you're sitting there and you're reading this, and you say, Father, I am justified. Man, I thank you right now, Holy Spirit, for showing me the truth of this and causing me to walk out the strength of this, the joy of this, the purpose of this salvation. This is amazing. And you pray that way, and the Holy Spirit starts changing your life and touching your heart. And all of a sudden, it's like real. Amen? If by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more. Do you hear all the much mores? Jesus is in a much more realm. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Not in heaven. They'll reign in life through the one. Jesus Christ. You get it? Okay, I'm really trying to wrap up and I'm really getting late. Are you all okay? I got one, just a couple. I just got like, I'm going to read something. Colossians, real quick. If you got to slip out, slip out, but don't leave without prayer. If you need prayer and you need to go, wave your hand real aggressive. We'll send somebody out to pray with you. But I've got to cover this real quick. Do you know how I always talk about being brought back to original value, being created in the image of God? Those of you that hear me all the time preaching or listen to CDs, I talk about that all the time. Redemption, brought back to the beginning. I'm in the image of God. I'm going to put off the old man, put on the new. I'm born again. I'm not in Adam. I'm in the Christ. Do you hear the language? So there's a perspective change, a life change. I don't have permission to be a mere man anymore. I don't even have an excuse, and I don't want to find one. Did you hear what I just said? I know that sounded a little sharp. But that's me talking to me. I don't want a justification to be a mere man. I don't need an excuse to have a bad day. I don't need to justify a mood and an attitude and a mindset that's less than my creative value. I don't want to sell the gospel short through the way that seems right to a man. I don't have time for attitudes, opinions, pride, jealousy, envy. It's not an option. Now, I'm talking out of my heart, okay? That's your privilege to receive what I'm saying and to go after that. But I hear a lot of people justify their life when it's less than truth. And they say, yeah, but you know, don't do that to yourself, please, and don't do that to the gospel, because the grace of God has the power to change your life if you'll receive it by faith. Grace flows, Romans 12:3, reveals that the measure of faith is according to faith. So if I release faith, grace, no faith, no grace. But grace is able to abound, and I am what I am by the grace of God if I release faith. You get it? It's just simple. Okay, I'm going to read this because this is incredible to me. Just let the word speak, because for the sake of time, I'm not going to preach. I would love to expound on this, but I'm not going to. Colossians 3. Man, I read this. I must have read this who knows how many times in my Christian life. I got my markers out, made my Bible pretty. I've been ripping up my Bible, man. It's like a brand new Bible. There was no colors on it. And I got this color code thing I've always used. So I got my colored pens out. It's pretty too, man. My color code came from God. It's good. But I got my pens out, and I'm going through the epistles, and I hit the scripture. Whoever read their Bible and read something, a bunch, probably preached on it, and it just went, boom. I was like, that's it. That's foundational. Watch this. If then, verse 1 of Colossians 3, if then you were raised with Christ, so if you're really raised with Christ, here I am expounding, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That means live your life from heaven's perspective. Don't live like a man on the earth looking up to God. Live like a man of God viewing the earth. You live from heaven's view. We're seated in heavenly places. That doesn't mean we're literally sitting there. That means spiritually we've been placed there through truth, through promises. We have access to all that He is. We're seated in heavenly places. Heaven's on the earth. The kingdom's at hand. You get it? It's not some doo-doo-doo-doo-doo thing and positionally we're there. God's aware of us. No, it's what I have access to. The kingdom of God on the earth. I can manifest heaven. Come on. Do you understand? Okay. Because I feel real passionate about this. We got to get this. We as the church, we got to just start getting this and going, yeah. So exciting. Seek those things where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Watch this. Here's your part and my part. Set your mind on things above. Isn't that the challenge? The wiles and schemes of the devil get you distracted, get you thinking earthly, get you thinking selfish, get you self-centered and all worried about your own little spectrum and not seeing from the big view and the big picture. Set your mind on things above. Why? So you pray from heaven's realm, not earth's realm. We're not on earth crying out to God. We're from the position of heaven speaking to the mountain. We're not in fear. We're not people desperate and afraid crying out to God, hoping he intervenes. We're supposed to be people of faith that works through love, commanding and demanding and shifting things on the earth. Not demanding and commanding God, things to move on the earth. He said subdue, not be subdued. Okay. Watch this. Set your mind on things above, not on the earth. For you died. Uh-oh, that's good. I hope we all died. We died and our life is hidden in Christ. So the Adam thing is what died. We were born into Adam. That died. I surrendered that. I don't want to be found in Adam anymore. I want to be found in the Christ. So my life in Adam died. I died to my life in Adam. I'm not relating to sin anymore. I'm relating to the righteous judgment of God. I'm not relating to wrath anymore. I'm relating to mercy and love. Oh my gosh. I'm not relating to rejection. I'm relating to acceptance. I'm not relating to the sins of man and the things I wish would changed in my life. I'm relating to what has come and what is in him. You follow me? I'm preaching real good. I hope you get it. I feel this. Watch this. You died. That's you in Adam. You in Adam. In Adam, you died. Your life is hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you appear with him in glory. Wow. You know how somebody could hear me and see my pastor say, I don't know about that guy. You'll see. Even if you don't believe the rest of your life, when he appears, I'll be right with him. And then you'll say, whoa, he wasn't a fruitcake. He knew the Lord. Yeah. Look, because of this, therefore, find out what the there's for, right? There's for. Why is it therefore? It's therefore because of this. He's all these things he's saying. Because of this, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication. That's any form of sexual immorality outside of the marriage covenant. Put it away. That's not even existent before the fall of man and before the tree. And I don't have time to get there and go there. It's too expansive, but it's powerful. And I'd love to get everybody some time and just preach it to the world. I really would, because we don't get that. Uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. These are all things we became through sin and the fall. They are not normal. They are not your inherited value. They are what we became when man fell and took on the nature of God's enemy, guys. Every passion and desire of man, it was birthed in you through the fall. When you get back into Christ, those things, I promise you, there's a place for them to be crushed and destroyed through the gospel, through right revelation and understanding. You are not at the mercy of passion and lust and desire. You are at the mercy of God. And if you would submit and surrender your heart, you'll see your whole insides change. Boom! And if you clean the inside of the cup, the outside will be clean. So I'm not biting my lip trying to be a good Christian. I've become a man of God on the inside, and I'll just manifest that. Does that make sense? Okay. Passion. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. That's people that simply say, I don't want the life you created me for. I don't want my inheritance in you. I want what was given to me. I want the illegitimate birth. I want what I became through sin. I don't want the justification. And when a person makes that decision, it's not even that God is throwing them into hell. They're saying, I want my life without you. I don't want what you created me to be. I want what I became through the fall. If we'd explain the gospel that way, it would change things with people instead of trying to woo them into praying a prayer. If we'd share with them the dictates of flesh and how and the way we are and that it was never our inheritance in the first place, and God doesn't send people to hell. What people do is they receive a counterfeit life. They receive themselves. They receive themselves through the fall. They were never created for themselves. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. And people say, no, I want myself. Well, then that's what you have, me, myself, and I. That's what you have. If you want life without God, that's what you have. So when you run your course and you pass on without God, guess what you have? Eternal life without God. It's not hard to figure out. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to catch this when you look at the word. What you're embracing is a life that was given to you by deception, by the fall, by sin. And you're saying, I want that, and you covet that instead of the life you were really given in the first place by God. He's trying to draw us back to created value and the reason we exist. And when a man in disobedience says, I don't want that, then that's exactly what he gets. That's powerful. In which you yourselves all walked when you lived in them. So every one of us know what we're talking about when we read this. We've all lived with evil desire, uncleanness, passion. You know, I can't say we all lived with fornication. Not all of us. I can't say that because John's back here shaking his head no and smiling because he's only ever known Kathy and Kathy's only ever known John. And I love that. I love that. Yay, John! Yay for you, man! Oh, man. There's just something sweet about it. Here's the good news. I don't care if you knew everybody around the block. Once you come to the knowledge of Christ and your heart changes and you wish you weren't that, then you're not that. And God makes you brand new and releases you in the newness of life. And you become a brand new creature. Yay! I needed that mercy in my life. See, John, you're my hero. Jesus is my hero. See, Jesus is my hero because he's restored me to something I could never be without him.
Amen.
Man, he's so good. Okay, but now, you yourselves, do you hear how personal this is? Do you hear responsibility in this? And that's not a curse word. Responsibility is not a curse word. Do you hear the responsibility in this of yourself? Yourself. You're to put off these things. This doesn't mean through anger management program, okay? What it means is you separate your identity from it. In other words, you stop accepting these things that I'm ready to read as normal. Because when you accept them as normal, they will always have a voice in your life. When you believe it's just the way we are, it's just the way you'll be. But when you get in your bedroom and start thanking God you're separate from these things and you're brand new and filled with the Spirit and Holy Spirit, thank you for filling me with love and kindness and gentleness and goodness, and you just start separating and seeing that you are a brand new creature in Christ and never again will I be subject and at the power of or submitted to the power of these things, but yeah, I'm a man of God, you'll see that change take place in your life because you'll live from that perspective. It's powerful. A lot of Christians just call what we are normal. No, it's twisted. It's perverted. It's what we became. If it wasn't, he wouldn't tell us to put it off. Ephesians says, put off the old man, put on the new man who's created in the image of Christ, right? In the knowledge of Christ. Watch this. Put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Come on, don't lie to one another since you've put off the old man. So when you put off the old man, you died. This water baptism we'll be doing at the end of the month. We're dying to being born into Adam. We're living to be born into Christ, okay? It's very powerful. So we're putting off everything that entails the life that was in Adam. We're calling it not us. It's not us anymore. We're separating it from it. So we're putting off the old man with his deeds. Well, that sounds like works. Bite your lip and try not to be a flesh man. No. We're going to live under righteousness and have our fruit under holiness. Grace will have its way and our lives will change. We don't bite our lip. We come into agreement. I don't want to be an angry man. I don't want to be a proudful man. I don't want to be an envious man. I don't want to have malicious thoughts. I want to be like him. So I pray that to God and I thank him for that and I kneel before him and I yield myself and I ask Holy Spirit to have his way and I find my whole nature changed. Isn't that cool? I'm not wrestling with a dual nature. I don't have a little devil here and an angel here. Right. And cartoons are whacked anyway. They always have the angel like a little wimp and a pushover. That doesn't surprise me. That's the lies of the devil right there. He's the one living a lie, by the way. He's the one buying time. He's the facade, you know. When Jesus walked the earth, they came out like they were, freaked out and afraid. What are you doing here? Are you here to torment us before our time? Send us into the pigs. They're cursed. That's where we belong. That's what that all means, by the way. They were under no covenant. Hogs were forbidden. They were cursed to the Jewish people. So why don't you come out and go where you belong? You're cursed. That's what the Holy Spirit showed me a long time ago.
Because people say, why did Jesus listen to them and do what they asked? No, because it actually was a good request. They actually, their identity was so exposed in the light of who he was that the best they could do is send us into the pigs. Go. I love that stuff, man. I eat that up. Okay. Put up the old man with his... Yeah, bless you guys. You need prayer for anything? You good? You all good? You good, Kevin? Come on, man. We'll pounce you and throw you down and pray for you. We can handle you. You're a big boy, but we can do it. Are you good, buddy? Okay. Yeah, hook him up. Bless you. It's not my preaching, right? It's just the time. Okay, I believe you. I need Kevin to... Is it my preaching or is it just got to go? Okay, bless you. Okay, watch this. I'm wrapping up. I really am late. Put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the... Watch this. Watch who the new man is. See you, ladies. Oh, no, John.
Yes.
Run out. Hit her in the hallway. Don't hit her. pray for her. Go grab her. Marilyn! Whoa! Allergies. Just go pray. You can go with him, dear one. And just pray them allergies be just destroyed in her life. Yay. Okay? We've put on the new man. Look who the new man is. Guys, you got to see this. If you have a Bible, look in verse 10. If not, listen carefully. We have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. That means we're gaining understanding. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We're gaining understanding through the word. We're being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Small h I am, meaning man. So we're being renewed back to the original value in which we were created, which is in the image of him who created him. Oh my gosh, like father, like son. That's what it's saying. So we put on the new man. We put off the old because everything about being born into Adam is 180 degrees twisted from what we were created to be in the first place. And Christ brought us back to that place. That's the born again experience. Isn't that sweet? Hey, you little preacher buddy. Come on, let her rip. Oh my gosh. Does this make sense?
Yep.
Wow. So in him there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But look, Christ is all and in all. All things are one in him. We live in the Christ, guys. That's why we pray for the sick all the time. Because we believe in redemption and restoration. We believe in reconciliation. We believe that we're justified. Isn't that cool? We believe that mercy triumphs over judgment, that the goodness of God is awesome. Okay? So, any thoughts, questions, concerns? I've preached a lot, stirred up some stuff maybe, or did it come out clear? I mean, it all settled in your spirits, didn't raise any questions. Yeah, that wasn't a controversial message. That was the gospel. Yeah. Oh, it feels powerful in me. It's like, I'm going to run home. I'm going to drive home and not even start my truck. Just like, go, man. That's how I feel. Amen. We're going to pray for the sick, okay? Yeah, we're going to pray for the sick tonight. John also has a million CDs and DVDs. He has the black briefcase with him. We went to a church the other week. He took 350 of them and handed them all out. He's amazing. So let's pray something first. Father, let the message of the gospel just bear witness to our hearts, and let this message be just grafted in and branded into the heart and understanding of every one of us. Lord, let it not elude one of us. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and just keep this gospel alive in our hearts. Father, through thick and thin, come hell or high water, in adversity, trials, and testing, let the word come, Lord God, and let the word be first and foremost within our hearts. We ask you to bring it to our remembrance in every time of need. We're not trying to be Bible encyclopedia heads, computer heads. We're not trying to be computer files. We are leaning on you. We want your word. We want this truth. We want to live this life. And we're thanking you for the grace that empowers us. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you to engrace the people and lead us daily to walk this out and work out our salvation before your throne and reveal your glory to all men. Father, we thank you for the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who needs prayer? Who's got anything going on in their body, their life, sickness, need healing? Let me see who you are. Just be honest. Huh? Oh, okay.
So you stay back here. We're going to come to you. Anybody, please just stand up if you need prayer tonight. Please don't be shy or hesitate. You both need prayer? Come on, girls. You couldn't hear a message like that and not receive. Yeah. Let us love you. Give us the honor of loving you. Stand up for us. We're going to make our way to you, okay? It's Mary and Josie, right? Yeah, I'm on it now. Anybody else who needs prayer? Come on, guys. Hang in there with me just for a minute. Anybody else? Come on up here and sit. I'm going to pray over you. Please. You get personal prayer. Okay. Anybody else? We got Josie and Mary back there. Josie's in the green, Mary's in the blue. She doesn't want prayer? Are you okay? Oh, she doesn't? You okay? But you got a situation you'd like to see change? You got a circumstance you're believing for? You got something? We're going to bless you. Can we bless you? Not because there's a problem. We just want to bless you. Okay? Will you go back and bless her? Does he need prayer?
He was born with, and like his eyes just keep getting worse. They keep going in, and he's had surgeries when he was younger. And the glasses are supposed to be helping him, but it's getting bad again.
This guy here, he needs prayer. Do you need prayer?
Yeah, I'm struggling with my ankle.
Who can believe for an ankle? Come on, church. Let's go pray for this ankle.
Yeah.
Let's go back and pray for Josie. I need some of the church. Come on. Be loose. Okay?
Always
hearing? What about your ear? The hearing? Okay. Okay, that's belief for hearing to be restored. We'll pray for these eyes. Where's Richard? Richard, will you pray for Danny? Belief for his eyes? He's a good guy. I'm turning you over to a good guy. If you look, you can see Jesus is in him. Amen? Okay. Eyes, yeah. You guys believe for that, okay? Look up. Thanks, Mike. Thank you, God. Did you call me? Thank you, God. Did we cover everybody? Is everybody getting prayer that needed prayer? Good. Okay, yeah, I want to pray for this lady.
Real quick, I just want to ask you to pray for you.
Oh, I'm not going to November.
Yeah, I already put it in my calendar to pray for you, but you know.
Oh, the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, the 5 days, Wednesday to Sunday, the 12th. See you guys. Bless you. Thank you, God. You want this message, just the, your spirit's like, yeah.
Thank you.
Wow, what voice, what access do you have to work? Is it hard for
Kevin? Wait until the restoration is in his eyes.